Blog Talk Radio.
Are you someone looking for a new career opportunity? Minister Freddie Bird is looking for those who are energetic, enthusiastic, coachable, family-oriented entrepreneurs seeking an opportunity with unlimited earning potential. This person must be goal-oriented, and he's only seeking those who are serious about this opportunity. Please contact him at 804-873-4893.
Good evening and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is Prophetess Valerie Burrell. So excited to be with you on this evening. We thank God for our guest on tonight. Hallelujah. Pastor Wendy Bradley of Naked But Not Ashamed Ministries here in Richmond, Virginia. Pastor Wendy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Prophetess. It's a real honor and a privilege. As I was telling you earlier, it's my first opportunity to be on talk radio, so I'm excited to see what God is going to do in this next season of my life.
Amen, amen. Well, we thank God for you, and we don't want to get in the way and prolong it. We want to hear what the Spirit of God has to say through you, woman of God. So I'm going to turn it over to you at this time and just allow you to flow as the Lord leads. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise God and grace and peace to all the people that are on the line or that will be listening to this broadcast. It is simply a pleasure to come on as Prophetess Valerie Burrell's guest, and I'm excited about it, but I believe there is a word from the Lord, and I'm just going to say a short prayer, and then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to be our host and guide us through this word on tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you even now. And I realize and I recognize, God, in my journey with you, that I can do absolutely nothing without you. So I turn my will, my way, God, even my thoughts, and even all that's within me over to you. And I ask, God, that you lead, God, and direct me. And I pray that those that are listening will be edified, they will be blessed, encouraged, even instructed or redirected if you see fit. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you in advance because you're faithful. So I thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. And let all God's people say amen. And so we're going to be talking a little tonight about reckless operation. And when we think about reckless operation, typically we're referring to an automobile, and when you're driving and you're going beyond the authorized speed limit and the police or the officer or the trooper or state trooper pulls you over because you're driving recklessly, according to this past or beyond the speed limit. And so it is with our gifts and callings. I want to bring it on in. If we look to 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, it talks about the gifts and the calling. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter. We're going to look at that, the first couple verses, and then we're going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to interject some of my personal experience in there, because that's always good when the speaker brings to remembrance her own or his own struggles and challenges as we're going along this way. So, though I speak, 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. I'm just going to stop right there and begin to talk a little bit about those two scriptures. Here with the Apostle Paul is talking about, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So he's saying, in other words, you know, we get caught up a lot of times in the ability to operate in our gifts. And I just want to say this or stop and pause here, right here, and say that gifts and callings or without repentance. Just like he told Jeremiah in the first chapter of Jeremiah, he said, I knew you were it when you were in your mother's womb, and I appointed you to be a prophet of the nation. So even before we were aware, even while our mother was carrying us, the Lord already ordained for us to serve him in some capacity, in some gift, some calling. So that was already done even before we became aware of it, okay? But when we get the revelation, after Jesus brings the revelation or the Holy Spirit brings the revelation, we start to operate in our gifts and callings. What God is now concerned with now is not the operation of the gift and calling, but the spirit of what we're operating with. He goes back here and he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It goes on to number three and says this, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So you can see here that God is most concerned about how we're operating through the vehicle of our gift or our calling. As I began my personal journey over here in God, years ago I started preaching and really didn't know that God had called me to be a prophet, didn't know that he had called me to be a pastor and some of the other gifts and callings. I had just started operating in it. I was saved, but those things came forward. It came into fruition, if you will, and I began to operate in those gifts. But what I didn't understand back then is that God wasn't so much concerned about the gift than he was with the operation of the gift. And so what God began to deal with me about was my character. The most important thing God was concerned about was my character. And so I just wanted to, so as I began to operate and I was telling a little story about my personal life. I had been saved for some years and had been out preaching and in my journey had backslid. Okay, and when I came back to God, I went back home to my own church and started worshiping there. My mother was there, and I was in the process of physical healing. I had received a diagnosis, and so I was on my journey back to God, okay? And so when I came back to God, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about assuming my ministry in preaching. So I went back and I did indeed go forward, and the man of God recognized, or the Holy Spirit pulled the curtain back and let him see who I was. And so, long story short, he licensed me, and all that was orchestrated by God because it was a Baptist church, and so they really didn't even believe in women preachers or women pastors. They really didn't believe in that, and so God set that up where I would go forward and affirm and confirm my calling and my giftings, but it came with adversity. And so I didn't understand why God would allow me to go that path. But see, God is more interested in our character. So he began to allow me to go through those different changes with the deacons where I was persecuted and talked about and sat on, and literally every time I turned around was dealing with some kind of adversity. And I never forget the Holy Spirit saying to me, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So see, when we're operating in these gifts and we're operating in these callings, what are or how are we operating with them? Do we understand the love of God? And without the love of God, we're operating in those gifts recklessly, and that God is most interested that we keep his commandments. The first commandment is to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second commandment is to love thy neighbor as ourselves. And so when we're operating in these gifts, we're thinking that we're doing God, bringing God glory, literally, by operating in our gifts. But see, God's not bothered by that because, see, what God wants to know is, how's your love walk? What kind of person are you? You know, what? How do people describe you? The Word of God says we'll know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit do people see on your tree or in your life? You know, it goes back further to talk about what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. Verse number 4, 13:4. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so what God is looking at is, how are you loving today? How are you loving today? What do people experience when you're operating in your gift, when you're operating as a pastor, when you're operating as an apostle, when you're operating as a prophet, a teacher, a minister? And let's just even bring it closer to home. Even as parents who are also anointed and appointed by God to govern our children, what do our children experience behind our closed doors when we don't have the church members looking on? What are our neighbors experiencing? A lot of times we show up and we're totally different people than we are behind the closed doors. But I heard the Word of God say, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Well, what is that faith about? Our love walk. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His love is what motivated him to send his only begotten son to die just for us, a world that were yet enemies of the cross, or enemies of his son. What are people experiencing? And I go to Romans 12:1, as we're over here and as we're operating in our gift, when do we do a personal examination when we get done, quote unquote, ministering to people? When do we measure our love interaction or lack of our love interaction along God's word and get honest and say, now, God, I did that, or I preached, or I taught, or I ministered, or I cast out devils, or whatever it was I was doing in the operation of my gift, but what did the people experience? Did they experience your love? Your love that lifts, your love that heals, your love that encourages, your love that binds up, your love that even corrects sometimes. What did they experience? You know, and so it says, let love, Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how are we operating today? And are we in situations, or are we linked up with other those that are like services of ours, other apostles, other prophets, or other evangelists, or other ministers, that will love us enough when they see us operating recklessly to tell us the truth. That's the other way we equip each other. See, it's not enough for me to operate in something that was already assigned to me. But it takes the power of God's love for me to come alongside of my sister or my brother and to sharpen. And that is scripture that says, iron sharpeneth iron, so does a man a countenance of his friend. Are we really sharpening each other where we're effective and operating with authority and power and not recklessly? Operating in the love of God where people are truly being ministered to. Because, see, really, I don't need you to tell me where I live and my address. But what I need to experience when you're operating in our gifts and calling, has my life been transformed and changed by my experience in connecting with you? Have I experienced the healing virtue of God flowing from you because you're operating through the love of God? Do I experience the encouragement and the building up and the edification that gift is supposed to bring me if it's done in the love of God? And so as we're traveling this way, we see so many out here. You see so many apostles. You see so many prophets. And you see so many evangelists and teachers and pastors and preachers and all those of us that are called to lead in those type of offices. What are people experiencing? What are we truly being transformed by the renewing of our mind? You know, it goes back to Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, we're not doing God a favor when we humble ourselves and become a living sacrifice. Because, see, this is not about us, but it's all about him. So if I'm using or allowing the Holy Spirit to use my gift to truly bring glory to God, then I'm going to lay my life down as a living sacrifice. Not about my agenda, not about my desires, and not about my itinerary, but what is pleasing to God. And is my love walk through my gift pleasing to him? And number two says this, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we got the gifts. We got the operation of the gifts. But then our mind needs to be transformed. It needs to be renewed. And that only comes through our experience, the things that we suffer over here, the afflictions that we go through, the trials and the tribulations. James 1 says, count it all joy when you find yourselves in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Many of us over here in our offices have a need of patience, especially when we're dealing with folks. First, with ourselves, we need patience with ourselves. Then, in dealing with the body of Christ, what are we moving and operating where God can say to us, I'm pleased with your offering, your gift? Are we able to forgive those who have done things against us? That's the other thing. You know, when we're in and out operating sometimes as soldiers, some of us frontline folks as apostles, prophets, teachers, sometimes our love walk is going to be tested when we suffer an offense. Are we quick to forgive, or do we walk around holding grudges and aunts? See, and that speaks more powerful than anything that we probably can do in the workings of our gifts and offices. When somebody comes up against us, are we quick to do the big girl, the big boy thing and say, you know what, God, I'm not going to, God forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't even know who they're messing with, but God forgive them. You know, bless them and encourage them and whatever's going on with them, minister to them. See, that's big girl and big boy stuff. But a lot of times we get so caught up in our feelings, we get super sensitive that we're rendered useless. You know, we're rendered, you know, that what we're doing is not going to be effective. Because we've allowed our hurts, we've allowed our habits, we've allowed our hang-ups to pollute, if you will, the gift. So if we don't let the Holy Ghost do a work in our hearts, then they're not going to experience the love. They're going to experience all that stuff that we brought over here with us, all the unforgiveness, all the hurt, all the anger, all the disappointment, all the offenses. You know, so I go back and say that let the Holy Spirit do a work in our heart. You know, and it says here, it says, number two, Romans 12 and 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, we got to get honest about our true condition as leaders of God in our private time, in His presence. Say, God, you know what? I know you called me just like you did Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, but I got trouble in my flesh. I get angry really quick, or I carry that spirit of jealousy. We've got to get in His presence and let Him wash us. Let Him cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so when we're operating, we won't be reckless. We won't be reckless with other people's lives because we're operating still through hurt and anger and disappointment and unforgiveness and all those things we have not turned over to God and been honest about. We need to get honest about our true condition. Going back to my story when I was at that Baptist church, I tell you, I learned a lot of things about myself. And here I'm thinking I was doing those folks a favor by bringing all my powerful giftings with me. Oh, I'm going to do these folks a favor. They Baptist, you know, they don't have a clue. I'm going to go in here and show them how to pray and preach and all that stuff because I call myself Baptist-costal, right? And so I went in there thinking, yeah, okay, I'm going to teach them something. I'm going to show them something. But I tell you, God got a way that's mighty sweet. Instead of me teaching them something, He allowed the situation I experienced, the persecution and the adversity, to show me some things about me. Showed me that I was full of pride. Oh, bless the Lord. Showed me that I needed to humble myself. Showed me that my love was not pleasing to Him. And I'll never forget, they'd asked me to preach one Sunday, and there was a particular deacon that we were having. He was a deacon chair, the lead deacon, if you will. We were back and forth constantly. And the Lord allowed me to, from the pulpit, as I was ministering and preaching the word, tell him from the pulpit, said, Deacon Hammonds, I'm going to give the devil a black eye. I love you. I love you, and I'm for you. And so, see, that's what God is most interested in, not our gifts and callings, because, see, He's given those things to us. We didn't have to do any. We didn't have to earn that. But what we have to work on and allow the Holy Spirit to do in us is those things that transform us into His precious image, that they see and experience the power of God's love, and instead of us recklessly operating, that we begin to minister the power of God's love, and whatever God has assigned us to do, then we're rendered effective. You know, we see the evidence of it by the development and the healing that takes place on those lives that we touch. So I don't have any more tonight. I pray that this was a source of encouragement to somebody listening. And I tell you, I've come a long way. But listen, this is a lifelong journey, and we've got to continue to be honest in His presence so He can continue to do the work that needs to be done in our heart so we can be all that God has called us to be. But we need to be three things: humble, honest, and vulnerable. Humble, honest, and vulnerable. So God bless you, Prophetess Valerie. Thank you for having me. I pray that this truly bless somebody today, help somebody today, and I thank you. It was an honor and a privilege to share His word in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Pastor Wendy. What an awesome word. Yeah, that's something that we talk about often. We've got to check our love walk. We've got to check our actions. We have to be that living epistle because we are constantly being read of men, and we have to make sure that we are a God read and not just a good read. Amen. Amen. So we thank you so much for the word on this evening. We thank God for your husband allowing you to take the time away from him. Amen. To share with us. We appreciate him. Amen. 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 Listeners, at this time, we do have a few minutes left. If there's a question or a comment that you'd like to make, you can press 1 and we can bring you live. If not, we will be doing our closing prayer. Amen. Until next week. Amen. Well, bless God. Bless God. We want you to know that tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. we will be having intercessory prayer. If you have a prayer request, please find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, or go to the Empowerment Place LLC on Facebook and inbox your prayer request. We will be praying for you. On next Sunday, we will be back live here at 8 o'clock p.m. with another relevant, empowering message for God's people. Pastor Wendy, again, we say thank you for spending time with us this evening, for sharing with us such a powerful message that will surely empower those who are listening now and those who will listen at a later time. Listeners, as always, we encourage you every day to do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we then want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. We say God bless you. We love you. Until next time, good night and God bless.
Good night.